Om Gyanatya Minandasya Zana Zana Slakaya Chakshu Samilatan Jena Tasmai Sri Garave Namah Sri Chaitanya Maravistam Stapitam Dena Vitale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapanantika Manji Kapatu Vischa Kupasana Vaivita Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishvajyo In the fifth chapter of the eighth canto of the Bhagavatam, we've been hearing the prayers of Lord Brahma to the Lord of Svetadeep, to Kiridapshai Vishnu. And the demigods are in great distress, and therefore they approach Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma had said, they approached Lord Brahma for the removal of their distress. And Lord Brahma has said that now is the proper time for an infusion of the mode of goodness. And therefore, because there are three modes of material nature, and the Lord empowers these three modes in the form of Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, now is the time for Sattvagun to become dominant, the mode of goodness. That means it is the time for the Lord Himself, Lord Vishnu's help to appear. So they had gone, so Lord Brahma and the demigods, they went to the shore of the ocean of milk, and they, and Lord Brahma began to offer prayers. And the prayers have established that the Lord Himself is present everywhere. And not only is He present everywhere, but also He knows everything. And although He knows everything, He knows everything, and in 28, everything in existence revolves around Him. Especially text 28 refers to the living entity, showing that the parts of the living entity's body, our bodies, are like different elements of the wheel. And the wheel revolves around its hub, or its central point. And that central point that everything revolves around is actually the Lord, the Supersoul. And this is our great fault, that we try to make everything revolve around us, ourselves. And this is called Maya. And because of this Maya, we are unable to see Him, because we are off-center, out of kilter. We are wobbly. So after describing that, Lord Brahma describes how, although He is the center of everything within this realm of matter, but yet He is beyond it. He is transcendental. He is not visible to the material eyes. But those who, due to their yogic powers, their fixed concentration of mind, they can actually see the Lord. But one has to be very pure to do that. And what stops one from seeing the Lord? Text 30 in Lord Brahma's prayers has explained that it is the curtain of Maya, His illusory energy. And unless He pulls that curtain aside, no one can see Him. So therefore, each prayer of Brahma ends by offering His obeisances, not on behalf of Himself, but also the demigods, offering obeisances to that Lord. And finally, the last prayer that we heard of Lord Brahma, as he explained how the demigods themselves, their bodies are composed of sattvagun. This is in text 31. And despite sattvam sanjayate jnanam, despite the fact that knowledge is born of sattvagun, that knowledge comes from it, still he says that the demigods themselves are unable to understand the Lord. What to speak of the ordinary living entities whose consciousness is affected, bodies is made out of, and consciousness is affected by the lower modes of material nature, passion, ignorance. So therefore it's so difficult or impossible for us to really perceive the Lord due to the influence of ignorance and passion. And therefore we come up with so many conceptions of what is truly important in life, what is to be perceived. But it is only Him, and it is due to the contaminations of the lower modes of material nature that other desires fill our consciousness. So onward in Brahma's prayers. It shifts now, or very soon it will shift. So that great Lord, who is so difficult to perceive without purity, He's impossible to perceive. He has created all living entities. So text 32 describes, on this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by Him. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. So all living entities are created by Him. The material creation rests upon Him. He is the great supreme person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us. So Brahma, the greatest personage in this world, he's teaching, or showing, pointing the demigods towards the Lord as the great person. And this, practically speaking, is one of the primary prerequisites for spiritual knowledge, to understand that regardless of how much power we happen to have, how much intelligence, how much anything, opulence, we are not the great person. The great person is the Lord, and we are only tiny, insignificant, and we only have what He's given us. We have nothing more. Whatever we possess is what He's given us. So therefore humility is a requirement. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this. Trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sihisuna, amanina manadena, Kirtaniya Sudhari. Prerequisite for proper chanting, continuous Sadahari, always chanting, is deep humility. So the four types of living entities born of the Lord, Prabhupada explains in his purport, those are born of eggs, embryos, perspiration, and seeds. Text 33. So everything is coming from Him. We cannot see Him due to our ignorance and passion, lack of purity. We are depending upon Him. He is everywhere. He knows everything. And we are depending upon Him at every step. So the next verses are going to describe our complete dependence on Krishna. Text 33. The entire cosmic manifestation has emerged from water. And it is because of water that all living entities endure, live, and develop. And indeed, the scientists explain that, even the scientists say that without water there can be no life. And therefore they perceive that there's some trace of water on the planet Mars, so that they say, now they'll say there's life on Mars, possibly. Because water develops and is based on life. Excuse me, that life is based on water. This water is nothing but the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has such great potency, be pleased with us. We cannot live without water. That water is an aspect of Him. Life depends on water. It's there by God's grace. We are dependent on water, therefore we are dependent upon Him. 34. Soma, the moon, is the source of food grains, strength and longevity for the demigods. He is also the master of all vegetation and the source of generation for all living entities. As stated by learned scholars, the moon is the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all opulences, be pleased with us. So the moon affects us in so many ways. When someone is going crazy, we say he is loony. It means the lunar aspect is affecting him. The moon is affecting him because the moon is it affects the mind. It is the lord of the mind. And on a full moon night, people's passions are inflamed, practically speaking. The moon affects us so deeply. Without the moon, there's no food grains don't grow properly. It causes the longevity and strength of the demigods. It gives the Bhagavad Gita explains that the moonshine nourishes the vegetables and gives them their nourishing abilities for us. So therefore, in this case, because the moon is an aspect of the Lord, we are dependent upon Him in that sense as well. Because when one... So this establishing of personal dependence on Krishna is very important for us. Very important for the living entities, because when one is dependent upon someone and one is understanding that he's being nourished by someone and supplied all the necessities, all the requirements for his life, then naturally gratitude comes. One feels grateful. Without gratefulness, one's heart is considered very low class. And gratefulness is a stage prior to love, actually. So gratefulness is very important. It is not the ultimate stage of love. I was just hearing how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was comparing the conception of religion of the Christians to the conception of the Vaishnavas. And he was saying that Christians have a very wonderful conception of God as the Father, and therefore the living entities who are gaining so many things from the Father feel grateful, and therefore they worship Him. And they fear Him too. There's so much talk of fear of God. Why? Because if He's not pleased, He'll hurl a thunderbolt at them, He'll cut off their supply of water, of vegetables, won't give them daily bread, etc. Actually a very pious conception, but the Vaishnava conception is most wonderful. Instead of God being the Father, God becomes the Son. And therefore the concept isn't please give me, but please, on the other hand, the Vaishnava concept is please let me give you. If Krishna, Mother Yasoda, thinks if I don't feed Krishna, he's going to become lean and thin and die. So it's my duty out of love, my loving duty is to feed him, giving, giving, giving. So love means giving. And the love of giving and not caring what one gets in return is even higher than the love that one experiences due to his gratitude for getting, getting, getting. So this is the Vaishnava conception. I heard on a tape, Prabhupada was speaking to Dr. Patel on a morning walk in Mumbai, and he's a scientist, and their talks are very interesting, always. Prabhupada's very strong with him, always. And so he said to Prabhupada, what is surrender? And Prabhupada said, everything for Krishna. He said it in such a sweet way. It's a total giving of the heart to Krishna. That is what the Vaishnava faith, religion, process is based upon. A giving of everything to Krishna. How wonderful. And of course, Gotripte Varanam Tata. Dependence on Krishna, like an animal is dependent upon its master, a domestic animal, like a cow, Gotripte Varanam Tata, is dependent. If the cow is tied up and if the master doesn't come and feed him, what can the cow do? You see this in the Goshal in Vrindavan. around the feeding time, the cows are feeling very hungry, and they start, really bellowing. They're saying, "Where's our food?" Because they can't do anything; they're dependent. But the devotee, he doesn't even bellow when he's hungry, or the devotees are not supposed to bellow when they're hungry. Sometimes bellowing goes on, but just what can? But they bellow when Krishna is hungry, and it's a mellow bellow. Very wonderful. Everything for Krishna. Very simple definition of surrender. Everything for Krishna. Let Krishna be pleased. Prabhupada's purport about the moon, where is that? Where Lord Brahma is saying, "May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all opulences, be pleased with us." Purport. Soma, the predominating deity of the moon, is the source of food grains, and therefore the source of strength, even for the celestial beings, the demigods. He is the vital force for all vegetation. Unfortunately, modern so-called scientists who do not fully understand the moon describe the moon as being full of deserts. Since the moon is the source for our vegetation, how can the moon be a desert? The moonshine is the vital force for all vegetation, and therefore we cannot possibly accept the moon as a desert. So, water, moon, and now, text 35, fire. Are we dependent on fire? Certainly. Fire, which is born for the sake of accepting oblations in ritualistic ceremonies, is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he eats through that fire. The food grains soaked in ghee are offered to the Lord through Agni Dev in a sacrifice of fire. Fire exists within the depths of the ocean to produce wealth, and fire is also present in the abdomen to digest food. When the fire of digestion isn't working, how long will we live? So we're completely dependent on fire and its different forms, and produce various secretions for the maintenance of the body. May the supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us. Text 36, the sun. The sun god marks the path of liberation, which is called Archaradi Vartma. He is the chief source for understanding of the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation. He is the source of eternal life as well as the cause of death. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. We see. We want to see God. Naturally, we want to see God. But Prabhupada would answer that question in different ways. Can you show me God? Sometimes he would say, people would say, "Can you see God?" And sometimes he said, "No, you are in the way," when it was an obnoxious person asking questions. "Can you show me God?" What is that qualification for seeing God? "Can you show me the President of the United States? Bring him here to me." Who are we to ask this? What to speak of God? No qualification. If we become qualified, at every moment we'll see God. Premanjana Chariti Bhakti Vilochanena Santasa Daiva Rideshu Valokayanti. At every moment, if we become qualified, and what's the qualification? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Valochanena. When the eyes are tinged with love, the salve of love. So our eyes that we want to depend upon to see the Lord, they themselves are dependent upon the sun. When there is no light, what is the value of our eyes? What is the value of our eyes? So the eyes are dependent on the sun, and the sun is the eye of the Lord. So again, we are dependent upon him. 37. Air. All living entities, moving and non-moving, receive their vital force, their bodily strength, and their very lives from the air. So in the Vedic system of Ayurveda, the science of life, the air is the vayu. There's kapha, pitta, and vayu. The air, fire, and kapha. What is kapha? You guess, something like that. So these, out of these, the most powerful one is vayu, or vata. Most powerful. It moves the body. It moves all the other doshas within the body. So all of us follow the air for our vital force, exactly as servants follow an emperor. The vital force of air is generated from the original vital force of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Lord be pleased with us. We see when someone has vitality. There are certain people, you see them when they walk by, they have so much vitality, vital air. That comes from, that's the prana that they have. Celibacy increases one's vitality. Prana. Lack of celibacy dissipates one's vitality. But that vitality, that prana, that vital air, that force is dependent upon the Lord. It's coming from the Lord. So even for our life force, we're dependent. 38. May the supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us. The different directions are generated from his ears. The holes of the body come from his heart. And the vital force, the senses, the mind, the air within the body, and the ether, which is the shelter of the body, come from his navel. Mahendra, the king of heaven, Indradeva, was generated from the prowess of the Lord. The demigods were generated from the mercy of the Lord. So he's showing the demigods, he's mentioning to the demigods who he's praying on their behalf, that they too, their demigods carry a power, a potency of the Lord. Due to their piety, they can do this. They're carrying a potency, part of his power. So therefore it is an offense to see the demigods as equal to or independent of the Lord. This is one of the 10 offenses. We cannot see them as equal, but we cannot see them as independent either. They are part of the Lord's universal form, and their power comes from the Lord. So he's reminding the demigods of this as he's praying to the Lord. Lord Shiva was generated from the anger of the Lord, and Lord Brahma from his sober intelligence. The Vedic mantras were generated from the bodily holes of the Lord. And the great saints and prajapatis were generated from his genitals. May that supremely powerful Lord be pleased with us. The goddess of fortune, more about those empowered living entities, demigods, was generated from his chest, the inhabitants of Pitraloka, from his shadow. Religion from his bosom, and irreligion, the opposite of religion, from his back. The heavenly planets were generated from the top of his head, and the upsuras from his sense enjoyment. May that supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us. The brahmanas and Vedic knowledge come from the mouth of the supreme personality of Godhead. The kshatriyas and bodily strength come from his arms. The vaishyas and their expert knowledge and productivity and wealth come from his thighs. And the sudras who are outside of Vedic knowledge come from his feet. May that supreme personality of Godhead, who is full in prowess, be pleased with us. So he's asking, he's glorifying the Lord, showing how everything connects to the Lord. But what does he want? He wants the Lord to be pleased with him. This is devotee. He's seeking the pleasure of the Lord. And a pure devotee is one who wants nothing. He's not a baniya. He's not a businessman. He doesn't want anything in return from the Lord. He just wants to please him. But Brahma, having a post and a duty to perform, he's going to indirectly ask for things because he wants the Lord to come and solve the problem, the demon problem that they're having. Greed. Not only do these wonderful things come from the Lord, but everything comes from him. He's multifaceted, many aspects. Greed is generated from his lower lip, affection from his upper lip, bodily luster from his nose, animalistic lusty desires from his sense of touch, Yamaraj from his eyebrows, and eternal time from his eyelashes. May that Supreme Lord be pleased with us. That's such an interesting concept, that eternal time or Yamaraj is from his eyebrows. By the moving of his eyebrows, Yamaraj is the Lord of Death. And then eternal time comes from his eyelashes. His eyelashes, by the blinking of his eyes, time is passing. Eternity is passing so quickly, in one sense, but just an eye blink of the Lord. The all learned men say that the five elements, eternal time, fruit of activities, the three modes of material nature, and the varieties produced by these modes are all created by Yoga Maya. My Maya creates this material world. This material world, they're saying, is therefore extremely difficult to understand. But those who are highly learned have rejected the material world. So this is where the scientists come in a sense, that they're spending their whole time studying this apara vidya, or the material world, material knowledge. And the more one studies this material knowledge, the less one knows about matter. And practically speaking, we see this is the case, because every time one learns something, and if one studies, it's not that the scientists are getting closer to understanding what material reality is. Rather, for everything they learn, it brings up 10 or 15 or 20 other questions, and 10 or 15 or 20 avenues of research that have to be pursued, which takes the taxpayers' money completely. But the more they know, the more that they understand they need to know, that means the less that they do know. So in one sentence here in the Bhagavatam, dravya vaya karma guna vishesham yad yoga maya vihitam vedanti yad dhurvi bhavyam prabuddha bhadham prasidatam nasa mahavibhuti. So the devotees, or the learned people, understand that this material world is very, very, very difficult to understand. Even Lord Brahma, upon his birth, he sought the source of his life by trying to search out the source of the lotus flower upon which he was sitting. And he couldn't. He couldn't find it. Rather, he turned back, frightened by that feeling of death that comes from when one understands, glimpses something of eternal time. A terror enters the heart. Brahma saw that and returned. So the learned people say that this world, this material world, is very difficult to understand because it's created by Krishna's Maya. No one actually can understand it. It's compared to an entangled banyan tree. Well, you can't tell the beginning or the end. How big is that one, that banyan tree in Calcutta? Huh? It's huge. I'm trying to understand how everything entangles and connects. You have seen? And you have seen. It's huge. One, you've seen it? You've seen a bigger one? Underneath it. All the birds are in it, probably. Probably crows if it's... You have seen it? That banyan tree?
Yes. I used to live very close to it.
Really? But you weren't one of the birds. Not living in it. That's what the Bhagavad Gita compares this material world to, a hugely entangled and twined banyan tree. What's connected to what? What causes what? Very, very difficult to understand. So those who are highly learned, intelligent, they don't bother trying to understand the intricate details of this world. Rather, they reject it. This is the jnanis. They reject it. They reject the material world. They cut it down in the language of the Bhagavad Gita with the acts of detachment. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They don't want to get entangled in trying to understand it. Because when you put your consciousness into trying to understand it, you become very attached to it and your own understandings. So they reject the whole thing with detachment. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the controller of everything, be pleased with us. So on one level, the devotees also reject the material world. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport. The word dhruvi bhavyam is very important in this verse. No one can understand how everything is happening in this material world by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through His material energies. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, maya dakshena prakriti suyate shacharacharan, everything is actually happening under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can ask anyone, why? Like, why do you... why is that car moving? And what would you answer? What's an answer? Why is the car moving? Because the driver's in it. And why is the driver in it? Because he wants to go somewhere. Why does he want to go somewhere? Because he wants to earn some money. Why does he want to earn some money? If you just keep asking why, you'll end up with Krishna. And sometimes children, they'll ask why, and they don't end up with Krishna usually. They end up with, be quiet. But ultimately, if you ask why, or if you trace everything back enough, you'll come to Krishna, because He's Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Maya Dakshena Prakriti. Maya Adiaksha. It's going on under Krishna's supervision. Suyate Satcharachana. Everything is actually happening under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This much we can learn. But how it is happening is extremely difficult to understand. Like even the process, one of the processes that we take for so much for granted in our life is digestion. It's not that the scientists, after scrutinizingly studying for so many years and spending so much money, understand how we digest our food. So how it's happening, no one can actually say. And if they talk about some kind of amino acids and this and nucleic acids and this and that mixing together in the wall of the stomach line, but they don't know how it's actually happening. And the devotees don't put their intelligence into understanding how, because they just accept this is happening actually by Krishna's grace. Something is happening. No one can understand it, but we know Krishna is doing something wonderful. So this, everything is happening under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This much we can learn. But how is it happening is extremely difficult to understand. It, how is it happening? It means anything, everything. How is the tree growing? How is the bug growing? How is the bug dying? How do the atoms work? How does this happen? Everything is actually inconceivably complicated. We cannot even understand how the affairs within our body are systematically taking place. The body is a small universe, Prabhupada says. And since we cannot understand how things are happening in this small universe, how can we understand the affairs of the bigger universe? Actually, this universe is very difficult to understand. Yet learned sages have advised, as Krishna has also advised, that this material world is dukkhalayama shashvatam. In other words, it is a place of misery and temporarily. One must give up this world and go back home, back to Godhead, back to the personality of Godhead. Materialists may argue, if this material world and its affairs are impossible to understand, how can we reject it? In other words, they say, first we should understand it. And then, after understanding it fully, then we should reject it. The answer is provided by the word Prabhuda Padam. Prabhuda Pabhadam. We have to reject this material world because it is rejected by those who are learned in Vedic wisdom. Even though we cannot understand what this material world is, we should be ready to reject it in accordance with the advice of learned persons, especially the advice of Krishna. Krishna says, Anitya Sukha Loka Dukhalayama Shashvatam. 44. Let us offer respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this Lord, who is doing everything so difficult to see, is making such a complex material universe that we can never ever understand. Now some description of Him in a far away way, but a description of Him. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is completely silent, free from endeavor, and completely satisfied by His own achievements. He is not attached to the activities of the material world through His senses. Indeed, in performing His pastimes in this material world, He is just like the unattached air. All in this world is done by Krishna's energies. In one sense He does everything, in another sense He does nothing. Yet, the demigods continue, or Brahma continues, despite all this, we have said, we want to see You by Your mercy. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are surrendered unto You, yet we wish to see You. Please make your original form and smiling lotus face visible to our eyes and appreciable to our other senses. Oh, that's purple. The devotees are always eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His original form, with His smiling lotus-like face. They are not interested in experiencing the impersonal form. The Lord has both impersonal and personal features. The impersonalists have no idea of the personal feature of the Lord, but Lord Brahma and the members of His disciplic succession want to see the Lord in His personal form. Without a personal form, there can be no question of a smiling face, which is clearly indicated here by the word samsmitam te mukham bhujam. Those who are in the Vaishnava Sampradaya of Brahma always want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are eager to realize the Lord's personal feature, not the impersonal feature. As clearly stated here, asmat karana gocharam, the personal feature of the Lord can be directly perceived by our senses. Because they want the Lord actually to come. And this pastime was, the explanation of this pastime was when the manas were being described, and the Ajita incarnation of the Lord was described as the one who was holding up, he became the tortoise and he lifted, he became Matsya, or rather Korma, and then he lifted up Mandara Hill. So they're actually praying for this incarnation. And Brahma is very intelligent, so he's praying a little indirectly. We want to see You. We want to see Your smiling face. And then in text 46, he's going to describe how the Lord incarnates. He's not asking Him, please You incarnate now, but He said, we'd love to see Your smiling face, and You come in so many incarnations. But He's asking, please come and incarnate now. O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, by Your sweet will, You appear in various incarnations. So He's saying, please, by Your will, You come so many times. Please come. Millennium after millennium You come and act wonderfully, performing uncommon activities that would be impossible for us. Prabhupada speaks in this purport about, although He comes in countless incarnations, innumerable incarnations, but that doesn't mean that imposters who say that they are an incarnation of the Lord, it doesn't mean that they are actually incarnations of the Lord. Prabhupada was so strong on this point. I've heard recently him say that he was talking about one so-called incarnation who was this Balkrishna Yogeshwar before. We used to call him Guru Maharaji, and he was popular during the 70s.
And Prabhupada would say, he'd tell the devotees, you should preach that if he is here, I will kick on his face. I will kick him in the nose. And then if he is God, let him finish me off by saying some mantras or something. I will kick on his face and see if he is God. And then one time in Hong Kong, Prabhupada said, he's not God. Some reporter was asking about him. He said he was dog. He's a dog because he's a human claiming to be God. And then Prabhupada said, he's such a rascal, he doesn't understand. He has a toothache, such a bad toothache, that he has to go to the hospital. And he doesn't think, how could it be that I'm God? That I have a toothache and I have to go to the hospital. And the foolish followers say, oh, it's his lila. Toothache, go to hospital, it's all this wonderful lila. So, although Prabhupada is in this, he's speaking about the incredible activities of the many incarnations, he speaks in his purport against the imposters, people claiming to be God. Because the incarnations are mentioned in Shastra. 47. Karmis are always anxious to accumulate wealth for their sense gratification. But for that purpose, they must work very hard. Because these last three verses, after describing the Lord, there's three more verses, 47, 48, and 49, and 50, actually. So, he's going to speak about the fact that they're devotees, the difference between the way the devotees act, because up to this point, he's been describing God, but he really wants him to come down as an incarnation. So he's going to explain here an interesting point, difference between devotees and non-devotees, benefits of being a devotee, actually. Karmis are always anxious to accumulate wealth for their sense gratification. But for that purpose, they must work very hard. Yet even though they work hard, the results are not satisfying. Indeed, sometimes their work results only in frustration. But devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial results without working very hard. These results exceed the devotees' expectations. Prabhupada's purport. We can practically see how the devotees who have dedicated their lives for the service of the Lord in the Krishna consciousness movement are getting immense opportunities for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without working very hard. The Krishna consciousness movement actually started with only 40 rupees, but now it has more than 40 crores worth of properties. I remember in 1976, one of Prabhupada's secretary told me, he just estimated that Prabhupada had maybe $25 million worth of properties. Not Prabhupada himself, but ISKCON. And all this opulence has been achieved within 8 or 10 years. No karmi can expect to improve his business so swiftly. And beside that, whatever a karmi requires acquires is temporary and sometimes frustrating. In Krishna consciousness, however, everything is encouraging and improving. The Krishna consciousness movement is not very popular with the karmis because this movement recommends that one refrain from illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. These are restrictions that karmis very much dislike. I also heard Prabhupada say on a morning walk, he was saying, when I first came to the United States, I was thinking that as soon as I say no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, the people will say, go away, we don't want you here. Nevertheless, in the presence of so many enemies, this movement is progressing, going forward without impediment. If the devotees continue to spread this movement, dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it.
this movement will go forward without limitations. Chant Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada ends that purport very enthusiastically. Anande Bolo Hari. Chant Hare Krishna. So the indication Lord Brahma is giving is that we should dedicate, that the devotees dedicate their activities fully to the Lord. Activities dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if performed in small measure, never go in vain. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the Supreme Father, is naturally very dear and always ready to act for the good of the living entities. Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord said, Salpamas apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. This dharma, devotional service, is so important that even if performed to a very small, almost negligible extent, it can give one the supreme result. Even if one does a little bit, one can get the supreme result. There are many instances in the history of the world in which even a slight service rendered to the Lord has saved the living entity from the greatest danger. Ajamil, for example, was saved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the greatest danger, that of going to hell. And he was saved simply because he chanted the name of Narayan at the end of his life. When Ajamil chanted this holy name of the Lord, Narayan, he did not chant knowingly. Actually, he was calling his youngest son, whose name was Narayan. Nonetheless, Lord Narayan took this chanting seriously, and thus Ajamil achieved the result of Ante Narayana Smriti, remembering Narayan at the end of his life. If one somehow or other remembers the holy name of Narayan, Krishna or Rama, at the end of his life, he immediately achieves the transcendental result of going back home, back to God. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the only object of our love. As long as we are in this material world, we have so many desires to fulfill. But when we come in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we immediately become perfect and fully satisfied, just as a child is fully satisfied when he comes to the lap of his mother. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest to achieve some material results by austerity and penance. But when he actually saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, I do not want any material benediction. I am completely satisfied. Even if one wants some material benefit from serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this can be achieved extremely easily without hard labor. Therefore, the Shastra recommends, Akama Savakamo Va Moksha Kamo Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogene Ajaita Purusha Param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Even if one has material desires, one can undoubtedly achieve what he wants by rendering service to the Lord. We read previously that a devotee sometimes may even ask the Lord for something material. He may be forced to do so, but in his heart he feels great regret when he does so, because he wants to give, because he's a devotee. So all these verses are describing the devotee and his dealings with the Lord. 49. When one pours water on the root of a tree, the trunk and branches of the tree are automatically pleased. Similarly, when one becomes a devotee of Lord Vishnu, everyone is served, for the Lord is the supersoul of everyone. From Prabhupada's purport, quoting the verse, in, I believe in the fourth canto, Yata taro mulanischa chanena tripyanti tatskanda bhujo pashaka pranopaharachaya tendriyanam tathaiva savarhanam achuteja. Just by pouring water on the root of a tree, one nourishes its trunk and all of its branches, fruits and flowers. And just by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the limbs of the body. Similarly, by worshipping Lord Vishnu, one can satisfy everyone. Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian religious movement. Rather, it is meant for all embracing welfare activities for the world. One can enter this movement without discrimination in terms of caste, creed, religion, or nationality. If one is trained to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is the origin of Vishnu Tattva, one can become fully satisfied and perfect in all respects. And finally, the last verse from his prayers. My Lord, so they're talking about worshiping Him and trying to satisfy Him, and then everything, all satisfaction will come to them. My Lord, all obeisance is unto You, who are eternal beyond time's limits of past, present, and future. You are inconceivable in Your activities. You are the master of the three modes of material nature, and being transcendental to all material qualities, You are free from material contamination. You are the controller of all three of the modes of nature, but at the present, You are in favor of the quality of goodness. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto You. And the last part of Prabhupada's purport. Lord Brahma, expressing His appreciation, said that because Lord Vishnu had now taken charge of the activities of goodness, there was every hope that the demigods would be successful in fulfilling their desires. The demigods were harassed by the demons who were infested with tamagun. However, as Lord Brahma has previously described, since the time of Sattvagun had now arrived, the demigods could naturally expect to fulfill their desires. The demigods are supposedly well advanced in knowledge, yet they could not understand the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord is addressed here as Anantaya. Although Lord Brahma knows past, present, and future, He is unable to understand the unlimited knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Demigods Appeal to the Lord for Protection. So now we are going to embark on a great pastime, hearing of a great pastime, the churning of the ocean of milk, and it will spring from the Lord's incarnation in response to the prayers of Lord Brahma on behalf of the demigods. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.